Discerning Believers, number 10 in the 1 John series. This is an exposition of 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday morning, January the 3rd, 2016.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege and the opportunity of worship. And now, Father, I pray that as we gather around your word, that you will open it to us. I pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to take the truth of your word and apply it to our heart. Lord, I pray that you grant us eyes to see and ears to hear. More than that, that you grant to us the courage and the boldness to order our lives according to the truth of your word. That we might not just hear and believe, but that we would live out the truth together. Father, as you speak, may we hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I didn't even want to be there. Didn't want to go. But he was my friend. And he asked me to go. He wanted me to be there with him. So there I was in a room full of preachers. Most of them of the charismatic variety. We were there for a prayer meeting. And I say prayer meeting with quotes because it really wasn't much of a prayer meeting. We got started praying, and soon prayer turned into prophecy on parade. One after another, they got up and prophesied about everything from health issues to the economy to world affairs. And when it was over and we were leaving, my friend turned to me and he said, "What did you think of the prayer meeting?" And I said, "I'm just sorry I don't have the rock concession." He didn't understand my reference to the Old Testament and the stoning of false prophets. And when I explained it to him, he didn't appreciate it. I'm often surprised by the preachers that people like to listen to. I was at a meeting one time, a pastor's conference, gathered with my brother, Southern Baptist pastors, and one of them said to me, "Do you listen to so-and-so, this television preacher?" And I said, "No. I know who he is, but I don't listen to him." He said, "I love him. I think he's just great. He's so dynamic, and he's built a really big church." And I said, "Do you listen to him?" He said, "I just said, I love listening." I said, "No, no. Do you listen to what he says? Because what he preaches is not biblical. What he preaches is contrary to the scripture." And we changed the subject pretty quickly. I was visiting with an older evangelist who was talking to me about an up-and-coming evangelist in our state. And he said to me, "This young man is going to go far because he says it well and he looks good saying it." Nothing about the content of his message. Nothing about whether what he was saying was true or biblical. Just he says it well and he looks good saying it. And his words proved prophetic because that evangelist has done very well. I recognize that we live in the 21st century. And I know that we must not violate the new golden rule of intolerance. But let me suggest to you, don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everyone who comes along and says he is speaking for God, because not everyone who claims to speak for God is speaking for God. We are to be discerning. And the test of authenticity is not how large his crowd, how passionate his followers, or even how great the result. The test is in the truth of what he says and the spirit behind it all. We are called to be discerning. Now, I know that as soon as I start talking like this, many are going to say, "Well, you know, if you don't like it, just don't listen. What harm is there anyway?" Sure, you might not like it. Maybe it's not your style, but don't rain on anybody else's parade. And you better not cause division within the church. Well, our Lord said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you wearing sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are ravenous wolves. It seems to me the Lord Jesus was concerned about it. Seems to me that it mattered to the Lord Jesus. Or listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myth. It seems the Apostle Paul cared. It seems that it was important to him about whether what someone said was true or not. Scripture demands that as the people of God, we be discerning. That we be discerning about what we're willing to tolerate within the church. The problem is, when you begin to talk about things like this, there are those who will quickly say, judge not. And that'll be followed by, touch not the Lord's anointed. That's usually said by the preacher. Of course, the problem is, touch not the Lord's anointed, comes from 2 Samuel, and it's about a king, not a preacher. Granted, there are similar passages in 1 Chronicles 16 and in Psalm 105, but those are about the physical well-being of God's true prophet. It's not about protecting the man who's lying in Jesus' name. We must be discerning. Discerning about what we allow to enter our ears, what we read, and what we hear. We cannot afford to be uncritical in our reading or our listening. That's the focus of our text found in 1 John chapter 4. And we'll start at verse 1 and just read down through verse 6. 1 John chapter 4, 1 through 6. The context is, John the Beloved is writing to a struggling congregation. These young believers have come to believe and trust in Jesus as the Messiah, but some false teachers have moved in and they're distorting, they're perverting the message. And so John is writing to strengthen these believers. He's writing to say to them, you can know that you have eternal life. You can know the truth. And he lays out for them three tests. He said there is a moral test, that is the test of righteousness. Are you growing in righteousness? Is there this increasing longing in your heart for that which is holy and right and true and pure? Then there is the test of the social test, the test of love. Do you love the brethren? Is there an increasing love in your heart for those around you? And there is the doctrinal test, that is the test of truth. In this text, he's going to expand on the doctrinal test. Let's look beginning in verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but rather test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. As we walk through this brief passage together, what I want us to understand is that genuine followers of Christ must reject error and embrace the truth. We're called to be discerning. We're called to pay attention. We're called to actually listen to what's being said and make critical judgments about it. We're not to uncritically listen. We're not just to say, well, he must be able to be trusted. After all, he's a preacher. He must be telling the truth. Otherwise, he wouldn't be allowed to just stand there and We are called to be discerning. We're called to make critical judgments about what is being said, about what is being taught. And in the church, we must be discerning. The problem is, it seems to me, there's pretty much widespread agreement within the church that we ought to embrace the truth. I don't hear anyone saying, well, now, whatever you do, don't embrace the truth. I don't hear anyone suggesting you don't need to obey just because it's true. I don't hear that at all. The agreement is, oh, we ought to embrace the truth. But there seems to be no call for rejecting error. We want to just stay on the positive side of things. We want to just talk about what we're for. And we don't want to talk about what we're against or what's wrong. We don't want to pass judgment. And I think perhaps the reason for that is because we've redefined what truth is. Because truth is now whatever it is to you. Truth is whatever you understand to be truth. Well, it may be true to you, while it's false to me. So, okay, embrace that if you want, but I don't need to because that's not my truth. That's your truth. Such thinking would have been unheard of by John and the other apostles. But you see, we've come to believe that there is no such thing as truth with a capital T. There's no such thing as truth that is an objective truth, a truth that is outside of me, that is true in every context, in every culture, in every age. Truth is all relative. And truth changes with the times, and truth changes with personality, and truth changes with culture. But biblically, truth is what God has revealed, and it's true in every culture, in every time, in every place. The problem is we bought the lie of the garden. You remember what the serpent said? Oh, God doesn't want you to eat the fruit off of that tree, because when you do, you'll have the ability to decide good and evil on your own. God doesn't want you to eat the fruit, because if you eat the fruit, then you don't need Him. You can determine truth and error. That's where we live. But the Scripture tells us otherwise. The Scripture tells us there is truth, and it has been established by the authority of God Himself. And God has revealed His truth to us, and then we are held accountable and responsible to live according to that truth that has been revealed. John runs these contrasts both in the gospel and in his letters. The contrast between light and darkness, between truth and error, between God and the world. And he does that making it clear there is truth and error. There is light and darkness. There's God and there's the world, and you need to distinguish between the two. You need to know which is which. You need to pass judgment. We are called to be discerning. Three things I want to point out from the text. The first one is in verse 1, and that is the fact that believers are obligated to exercise discernment. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. We are obligated. That's a strong word. And I chose it deliberately. I wanted to use a strong word because the word to obligate means to bind legally or morally. It refers to something that is essential or necessary. This is essential to Christian living. This is essential. It is necessary to being the people that God has called us to be. As a Christian, you are obligated to embrace the truth. And you are obligated to reject error. It's not enough just to accept truth. While accepting the truth, and part of accepting the truth, is to reject error. Is to reject that which is false. to reject that which is contrary to the teaching of Scripture and contrary to the will of God. We are not to uncritically accept whatever comes along in the name of Jesus. Look carefully at what John says. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether it is from God or not. In other words, he says, don't swallow whatever is thrown out. The Bereans were commended because they questioned what the Apostle Paul taught. In fact, the Scripture says they were more noble than the others because every day they examined the Scripture to see if what Paul was telling them was true. Now, understand what that means. Put that in the context and make sure you don't miss that. The Apostle Paul, author of approximately half the New Testament, Paul, the apostle to the Gentile, Paul, the man of God, inspired by the Spirit of God to write, they questioned everything he said, and the Scripture says, good for them. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Any preacher who does not welcome scrutiny is not to be trusted. Any preacher who arrogantly says, how dare you question me, you ought to question him all the time. In fact, you might just draw a big red question mark on his forehead. He's not to be trusted. You're to search the Scripture to see if what I'm saying is true. You're not ever to take my word for it. Of course, I'm always going to tell you the truth. No, you examine, and when you hear something from me that doesn't line up with Scripture, you line up with Scripture and reject what I say. We are to be discerning. And I believe it's an obligation. I believe it is something that binds us morally and spiritually. Today, there's a clamoring of voices through radio and television and the internet, through the multiplication of books and CDs and seminars, and there is a great need for discernment. See, the problem to me as I read through this text, the implication of the text is the church members were accepting uncritically any and all teaching that claimed to be inspired. It may well have been that these teachings were even accompanied by miraculous signs. Oh, well, did you see what happened? It must have been from God because this happened and it had to be from God. It couldn't have come from anywhere else. John is clear. There are true and there are false prophets among us. There are those who are declaring the truth of God and are faithful to the Scripture, and there are those who are not. John's saying that in the first century. And it's multiplied since then. Be discerning. Pay attention to what's being said and examine it in light of the Scriptures. But how do we do that? How do we distinguish? How do we know truth from error? Well, we test the spirit that is behind the message. Jeremiah 28 speaks of waiting to see whether the prophecy comes true or not. Now, I know this will upset some folks, but for the last 10 years, how many times have preachers said, this is the year Jesus is coming back? He hasn't come back yet. What does that mean? It means all of those who said that were lying, were false, and should be rejected. Test the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. Did their prophecy come true? Of course, not everything falls into that category. It's not always said in such a way that you can wait and see whether a certain thing happens or not. It may be wrapped up in the teaching that what they're saying is wrong. How do you discern? We're obligated to discern. We're obligated to distinguish. How do we do that? Brings us to the second thing I want us to know. In verses 2 and 3, believers are commanded to carefully examine what is taught. He tells us to start with, not every spirit is from God. And there are false teachers. With that in mind, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. Rather, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Test the message. Examine what is being said. Examine what is being taught. Think through the implications. When you listen to a preacher and the preacher's talking about a certain truth, then you always need to ask the question, well, if this, then what? If this is true, then what are the implications of that? You must always ask that. When you're reading, you need to ask yourself, if this is true, then what? What are the necessary consequences of this teaching? That's why you need to carefully listen. That's why you need to ask questions. That's why you need to probe. John applies this test. And it comes down to this in John's mind. What are they saying about the Lord Jesus? What are they saying about Christ? And is it consistent with the message of Christ found in the Scripture? Do they acknowledge that Jesus came in the flesh, or do they deny it? The doctrine of the incarnation is absolutely essential to biblical truth. That Jesus of Nazareth is none other than the second person of the Godhead. He is God the Son become flesh. He is God become man. He's not part God and part man. He is fully God and fully man, and He came and lived among us. How do you test the Spirit? What are they saying about Jesus? Do they confess that Jesus is the Son of the living God? Do they teach that Jesus is divine? And do they teach He was fully man at the same time? This is how we know whether the Spirit is of God or not. And then he goes on to say, the one who denies Jesus has come is the Antichrist. Is the one who is in opposition to Christ. That one who is against Christ. Now, it's important. Because it would be easy to say Jesus is God in flesh. When he says that the Spirit of God is the one who speaks this, he's not suggesting that a false teacher, a lying prophet, cannot say those words. What he's saying is this their teaching, and does their life reflect their commitment to that truth? If not, they're liars, and they're not to be believed. And it also means that they are false prophets, no matter how great their activity or the result of their work. Doesn't make any difference how big their church is. It doesn't make any difference how many people listen to their sermons. It doesn't make any difference how many people visit their website. If what they're saying is opposed to the teaching of the Scripture as to the nature and person of Jesus Christ, they are the Antichrist, regardless of any other affiliation they have. We are to test the Spirit to see whether it is of God or not. Whether it is consistent with what the Scripture teaches about Jesus. That He is God made flesh. That He is the Messiah. That He is the Anointed One of God. It's foundational to Christianity. No utterance, however inspired, which denies the reality of the Incarnation can be accepted as Christian or as true prophecy. Because such a denial is a denial of the doctrine of God. No matter how charming or eloquent or plausible, it must be rejected as error, as false, and it is to be judged. When seeking to discern between truth and error, we must go straight to the heart of the matter. What do they say and what do they believe about the person of Jesus? This concerns me because we live in a day where there's such a blurring of the line. We live in a day, because of political maneuvering and because of political expediency, Christian colleges invite Mormons to come speak and applaud them as great soldiers for the kingdom of God. Mormonism is an error. Mormonism is false. Mormonism preaches a different Jesus altogether. And it's to be recognized as error and to be rejected. Let's not blur the line. Again, it's not just the truth or sincerity of their words. It is the truth of the guiding, it's the truth that is the guiding principle of their life. And they order their life accordingly. Is their life in obedience to what they profess? Is their life in obedience to what they say and what they believe to be the teaching of the Scripture? We are obligated to exercise discernment, and that demands that we examine carefully the message that is being taught. One last thing. As believers, we must distinguish between truth and error, between God and the world. That's in verse 4 through 6. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, that is the false teachers. For he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Verse 4, verse 5, and verse 6 each begin with emphatic pronouns. So in verse 4, little children, you, that is, my readers, you, the people of God, you, the church, you who are Christians, have overcome. Verse 5, they, that is false teachers, men of the world who disguise their teaching, are from the world. Clear distinction. Verse 6, we are from God. And I believe the we there refers to the apostolic band, the ones referred to in verse 1 of chapter 1 when he talks about we were there, we saw with our own eyes, we experienced it, we were called. So the we here refers to the apostles and their inspired teaching. Now that's important. It's important to recognize this because he tells us in verse 4 that we who are the people of God have overcome. And how have we overcome? By the Spirit of God living in us, enabling us to understand, enabling us to distinguish truth and error. We have overcome by the Spirit, and not spiritual warfare in the contemporary sense of claiming authority over demons and so forth, but to recognize teaching as truth and error. This is to be distinct from God's message and man's message in verse 5. Recognize that one message is from God and one is from man, and don't mingle the two. And verse 6 would be an arrogant thing to say if it was merely John, a man, making that statement. But it's not arrogant at all, because what he is referring to is not himself as a preacher. It'd be an arrogant thing if I stood up here and said, now everyone who believes me is obviously from God, and everyone who doesn't isn't from God. What he's saying is, all of those who are in agreement with what the Word of God has revealed are from God. And those who reject the Word of God are not from Him and are not of Him. Clear distinction between truth and error, between light and darkness, between God and the world. We must be discerning. All of us. That's not a call for preachers. It's not a call for Sunday school teachers or those who are in leadership. It is a call for every child of God to be discerning. And every child of God can be discerning because every child of God has the Spirit of God residing within them. And part of the responsibility of the Spirit of God is to guide you into truth. That requires discernment. It requires that you carefully examine everything that is taught and you distinguish between truth and error, and then you embrace the truth and you reject error. That's God's call. And if we're going to be the people that God demands we be, this is how we must live. May God grant us the courage and the grace to order our lives according to the truth of this word. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for revealing yourself to us. Lord, I am grateful that we don't have to sit here today and look for a feeling. We don't sit here today and pray that we have some kind of revelation. You have spoken. You have already revealed yourself in the person of the Lord Jesus. You have made yourself known through the Scripture that has been preserved and handed down to us. Father, I pray that we would be discerning Christians. That we wouldn't just accept what we hear, even if it comes from our favorite preacher. Even if it comes from our favorite source of information. But to genuinely be people of the book who say the Scripture and the Scripture alone is our final authority. And we're willing to order our entire lives according to the truth of your word. Father, grant us courage to so order our lives. And yet at the same time, grant us grace that we never be arrogant or boastful. Because there is nothing that we have ever received that wasn't given to us. Whatever insight we have is because by grace your Spirit guided us to that truth. It's not because we're smart. It's not because we're so spiritual. It is all of grace. So there's no reason for us to boast. There's no reason for us to be arrogant. Lord, I pray that as we become discerning and as we recognize truth and error, and as we begin to embrace truth and as we reject error, that we do so in a loving and gracious manner that is firm, that is unyielding, and yet is clothed in grace and mercy. And may our hearts be broken over friends and neighbors and family and loved ones whose eyes have been darkened. Amen. And may we weep for them and pray that by your grace their eyes would be opened and they might see. Father, teach us to live out this truth together to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.